Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is August 18th, and today's show has been pre-recorded. Hopefully, by the time you are listening to this show, I will be boarding a boat in Ocean City, ready to head offshore. I'm not sure what's on the agenda today. I think tuna and maybe some marlin. I don't know. I'd like to bring home some mahi-mahi, maybe a wahoo, maybe a couple of tuna. It doesn't really matter. I'm just going to get out in the bay, out in the ocean for a little bit. I don't know how far we're going. Not my trip. I'm just a passenger. So I want to thank my buddy Ed for lining that trip up, and we'll let you know next week how we did. That's for sure. This is a private boat. This is private charter, and you know, we're just going to head offshore and see what's out there. Hopefully the weather's good. But we've got a great show coming up here. We've got a couple of guests that, were able to phone in their, comments and talk to them during the week about some pertinent information. And so we'll just keep on moving, both fishing and hunting. Now, I started last week talking about this 3D gun thing. We had a caller and prompted a few calls a couple of weeks ago about these 3D guns. And, you know, this story is a couple of weeks old now, but basically what happened was, the government agreed to settle a lawsuit by this Cody Wilson and his company Defense Distributed, along with the Second Amendment Foundation, agreed that Wilson could publish files on the internet, actual information on the World Wide Web. Amazing. But the info is designs and files which allow someone to use a 3D printer or CNC machine to make a firearm. Now, this article that I'm quoting from, it was written by Tom Gresham. And some of those are his words already on the Outdoor Wire. Tom Gresham has an outdoor radio show called, what is it called? Tom is the host of, let me find the back here, Outdoorsman Act, Gun Right Activist, Firearm Enthusiast, Tom Gresham's Gun Talk, the first nationally syndicated radio show about guns and the shooting sports, and is also the producer and co-host of Guns and Gear, Gun Venture, and First Person Defender television series. So if you've seen any of those, you may have recognized Tom Gresham. I had something interesting happen. We have the Maryland Hunting Coalition benefit coming up on September 19th there at Annie's Paramount Steakhouse. That's in Kent Narrows. And we were able to obtain FOI, Friend of Industry discount, on a beautiful Weatherby Sporter, a Weatherby Vanguard Sporter, Woodstock, some nice engraving on there, and 300 Weatherby Mag. Somebody's going to walk away with that at the event. We put a picture on our Facebook page, and Facebook took it down. And we put it up again, and Facebook took it down. A photo, a static photo of a gun. No violence, no intent, just, hey, we got this gun, and Facebook took the photo down 2 times. What in the world is that about? Well, I think I know. The Facebook and the social media culture is now trying to dictate what we can see. What happened to the First Amendment there, folks? You tell me. Well, here's what Tom Gresham has to say about 3D guns. It is legal to make your own gun without a serial number as long as you're not selling it or giving it away. It's for your own use. You can make it and use it. You must still abide by all federal and state laws, and you cannot be a prohibited person. Now, that is nothing new. It doesn't matter if you make it with a garage full of machine tools, a file, or a 3D printer. Here's the exact wording from the ATF website. Quote, does an individual need a license to make a firearm for personal use? Answer, no. A license is not required to make a firearm solely for personal use. However, a license is required to manufacture firearms for sale or distribution. The law prohibits a person from assembling a non-sporting semi-automatic rifle or shotgun from 10 or more imported parts, as well as firearms that cannot be detected by metal detectors or X-ray machines. In addition, the making of an NFA firearm requires a tax payment and advance approval by ATF. Number two, according to Tom Gresham, no one's going to download a gun from the internet. I know it sounds stupid, but that's what the ignorant politicians and the media keep saying. The issue is the publishing of CAD drawings and other files, computer-assisted drawing, and other files. Publishing, think First Amendment. It's illegal to make a gun that is undetectable. Has been for 30 years. So Senator Schumer, 3D files do not allow someone to legally make a gun that is undetectable to airport screeners. You fool. And yes, the NRA agreed not to oppose this bill. What? Wait a minute. Politics isn't a simple game of checkers, it's chess. The NRA got rid of a bill which would have banned a lot of guns and got a substitute that would ban no guns in current production. This was when the media, still ignorant back then as well, was shouting that the new Glock pistol was made of plastic and couldn't be seen by the metal detectors and x-ray machines. Sometimes you win by letting the other side think they've won. Here's what Wikipedia says about it. Initial proposals to ban handguns with less than 8 ounces of steel were opposed by the National Rifle Association, and what resulted was a compromise that banned guns with less than half the metal content of the Glock. The NRA agreed not to oppose the act because it did not affect any existing guns. A team of superstar lawyers working for Cody Wilson and the Second Amendment Foundation appeared, either in person or by phone, in more than a half dozen courtrooms as the attorneys general of a number of states sued to get a temporary restraining order to stop the publication of the files. This team argued, among other things, that this is just publishing files. It's a First Amendment case. The U.S. government is okay with it. We won it in several states, but eventually a judge in Seattle issued the temporary restraining order, and Wilson agreed not to publish for a while. Information cannot be stopped. Even before the temporary restraining order was issued, the files had found their way to the web and had been downloaded tens of thousands of times. A new website popped up to host the files, www.codeisfreespeech.com. The horse is not only out of the barn, it's left the country. So as with other gun control efforts, this is not about guns. It's about not about safety. It's not about crime. The words of the gun ban lobby tell you what it's about. They say they won't know who has guns. They wail that they won't be able to trace those guns. They shout they won't be able to register those guns. As always, this is about control. Not control of guns. Control of you. The legal fight will continue, and it's going to cost a lot of money. The attorneys generals are using our money. Keep that in mind. Wilson and the Second Amendment Foundation depend on donations. You can look those up if you like. The Second Amendment Foundation, and make it a contribution if you like. And finally, one other point. Blocking the publication of these files is prior restraint, which normally is anathema to the left. Blocking free speech usually would have them marching in the streets. In this case, of course, it's acceptable because it's free speech about something they don't like. One has to wonder how they would react to a campaign to block free speech on any of their pet issues. Oh, no need to wonder. And that's what Tom Gresham had to say about 3D guns, and we hope that that helped you with the thoughts on this thing a little bit and how it came to be and what's being done. So that's that. Just wanted to get that out there. We didn't have an opportunity to share that completely a couple of weeks ago. We had a guest in the studio, and we were talking about some other things and got led astray. So we did. Mr. Producer, I did not start my clock. How much time do we have left in this segment? 4 minutes. Okay, very good. 4 minutes. Thank you. If you'd like to read the Maryland Hunting Quarterly magazine, it is now online at MarylandHuntingQuarterly.com. You can see that all spelled out, that's for sure. The aforementioned dinner and fundraiser, dinner and benefit at Annie's Paramount Steakhouse is on September 19th, and that's for the benefit of the Maryland Hunting Coalition. You know, we We continue to do good things, and we'll have our summit meeting here at the end of September, where we invite leaders to the hunting community to come and share what's of concerning to them. So that's that. So as we head into the first break here, I need to tell you about Onyx. For almost 10 years, hunters have relied on Onyx, small O, small N, capital X, to help navigate public and private land boundaries across the country. Onyx Hunt is the only tool comprised of over 400 countrywide maps that give clear private and public land boundaries, trails, hunting-specific data, and more. It's an app for on your phone. New map layers are constantly being added by pairing with some of the leading names in conservation and the outdoor industry, like the National Wild Turkey Federation and Quality Deer Management Association. Whether it's on your smartphone or on your handheld GPS, make the most of your precious time in the field by navigating with OnX Hunt. That's right. Okay. You know, it's summer. It's hot. What cools down a hot summer day like a nice cold juicy watermelon or a piece of cantaloupe or something like that? Summer's the time for picnics and family get-togethers and camping trips, corn on the cob and fresh tomatoes and cold juicy watermelons. Excuse me. Nice bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich, you know. And, oh, no. You know, the Schillinger family at Papa John's Farm, they like to let you know that they have their own super sweet corn ready to go. Their own homegrown tomatoes. And if you want an event with great tasting food, we recommend you go to Papa John's Farm. At their enormous produce barn, their own tasty super sweet corn, homegrown tomatoes are ready. Their squash, their zucchini, peppers and onions, cucumbers, mouthwatering cantaloupes, and sweet watermelons. My daughter-in-law loves my onion and cucumber stuff that I make. Papa John's Farm is located just off I-97 at exit 12, 8065 New Cut Road in Severn, 410-969-8810. Papa John's Farm is open every day, Monday to Saturday from 9 to 7 and Sunday 9 to 6. That phone number again is 410-969-8810 for family get-togethers and reunions and church groups. Visit Schillinger Papa John's Farm for some corn. It'll grow on you. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie Spray-On Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Bedliners rated number one, carry nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner, truck gear and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford, 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built their reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCPN.
And now more from Alan Ellis and the Outdoorsman Radio Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
I like that. Kind of goes along with what I'm going to say next. First choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers is Chesapeake Outdoors. You cross that Bay Bridge, baby, you're in the land of pleasant living on Maryland's Eastern Shore. You get off at exit 39B Dominion Road, and you are in the parking lot at Chesapeake Outdoors. Everything for fishing, whether it's rods, reels, tackle, trolling, bass, panfish, rockfish, live bait, frozen bait, chum, you name it, they got it. Same way with crabbing, crab traps, crab pots, trot lines, all the white boots and extra tough boots that you need for being out there and doing your own crabbing and that type of thing. They got the nets, they've got the hand lines, whatever you want for the kids. It's all at Chesapeake Outdoors. And don't forget, bow season is right around the corner. Starts September 7th. They've got the new Raven crossbows, the Matthew vertical bows, compound bows. They've got the Hoyt archery all on clearance, and then just a whole bunch of crossbows and scentlock apparel and banded clothing, Yeti coolers, Costa sunglasses, guns and ammunition, muzzle loaders, waterfowl call. You get it. It's a complete deal. Chesapeake Outdoors, again, Route 50 East, exit 39B Dominion Road, right there in Kent Island, 410-604-2500. Hey, we've got a guest on the phone. We've got Eric Zlokovich here from the Maryland Department of Natural Resources, Fishing and Boating Service. Is that what it's called now, Eric?
Yeah, so, hey, Alan, I like those tunes. That was a good... So after our reorganization a couple of years ago, we went from the Fisheries Service to now Fishing and Boating Services.
Right, got it.
Fishing and Boating Services, correct.
And that's you.
Yeah, that's me.
All right, well, cool. So yesterday, Miss Robin, my dear and lovely wife, was trolling Facebook very early in the morning, and she sends me a picture of a waterman standing beside a giant bull shark. It looked like he was on the deck of his boat. There were other fish all there, and I said to myself, pound net. And I said, what do you know about this? And sent you the picture, and you said, first I heard of it. So what have you learned since then?
Yeah, that's right, Alan. You were the first person to give me a heads up on it. Well, the first thing that we noticed in the picture was that it was a bull shark, and it looked, you know, really large. I mean,
yeah,
bigger than average for the bay.
Oh, yeah.
Thought it was possibly 10 to 11 feet long. It turns out later that was sort of a bit of a photo, an optical illusion based on the way the photo was taken. It turns out it was 8.6 feet long, so that's still a really big bull shark.
Eight
and a half feet long.
No question.
And it had a real heavy girth to it, which you can see in the picture, and,
yep,
and it weighed 310 pounds.
Wow.
So that is a really big one. I'm a little bit more used to seeing him in the 6 to 8 foot range.
Right.
So 8.5 feet is really big. And so they're not extremely rare, but they're not common either.
Not necessarily in the Chesapeake Bay either.
Right. And the last few that we have documented over the last, let's say, the last 10 years have all been caught in the lower bay, either like St. Mary's County area, like this one. This one was caught off Cedar Point just south of the Patuxent Naval Air Station.
Right.
Just south of the mouth of the Patuxent River. So they're typically caught either down in that general area or over around Tanger Sound on the lower eastern shore, usually in a pound net. So this one kind of fit the pattern. It's a big fixed net. You know, these sharks are typically following groups of cow nose rays. They feed on cow nose rays and fish mostly. And it probably was just kind of traveling up the bay, following prey, and then accidentally swam into the net, possibly followed some cow nose rays into the pound net.
Right.
And they have a large opening, so they can get in there and kind of swim around in the net.
Right.
Now,
who's the waterman? Who's the angler?
It was Larry Boo Powley.
Boo Powley.
Yeah.
And I know Larry.
Yeah.
I know Boo. I deer hunted with Boo back in the day down in Dorchester County. He lives in, Hooper's Island.
Hooper's Island, that's
right.
Yeah,
he lives in Hooper's Island.
He's one of our famous Hooper's Island watermen.
He is.
I probably met him about 15 years ago when
yep.
I was a striped bass biologist.
Yep.
It might be almost 20 years now, actually, yeah.
He'll probably call the show.
So yeah, so...
I know he listens.
All right, so yeah, he, Yeah, he's based on Hooper's Island, but this is one net that he happens to have over on the western side of the bay, off Cedar Point.
Right.
And it is in relatively deep water near, it's getting near the main channel edge. So, you know, he has an opportunity to catch some pretty big fish and these, you know, occasionally a shark like this as they're moving around out there.
Well, I remember the famous bull shark weighed over 300 pounds. It was caught off Sandy Point. I don't know if you remember that fish or not, but fella had seen these bulls out there, and he decided to go out and hook up with one. So he rigged up a shark rig, and he took his John boat out off Sandy Point, and he put the big bait overboard. One of the sharks grabbed his bait, pulled him down to Bloody Point, and he wound up shooting the shark, and almost got in some trouble on that because of discharging the firearm and that type of thing. So he I don't know if he got a citation or not. It doesn't really matter. It was years ago, but he hauled it into over here at Old Reisterstown Bait and Tackle when they were open years and years ago, and weighed it in, and it was quite a deal. And his mother was a friend of mine and a regular caller to the show, and she passed away a few years ago, and unfortunately this young man passed away as well. So it's quite an interesting history of the sharks in the bay. You know, if you read about the history of bull sharks, I mean, they can be deadly.
Oh, they're right. They can be dangerous. And I do remember, you know, hearing that story, and I heard it from the famous charter captain, Ed Darwin.
Oh, yeah.
That is known to fish around the Bay Bridge area.
Sure.
And he told me that story, and he told me that they would see bull sharks feeding out around the Bay Bridge Islands, which mm-hmm. is probably what your friend
more than likely
observed.
More
yeah.
than likely, yeah.
They are a dangerous shark, and they were blamed for some attacks down in the Outer Banks a few years ago.
And the history back in the 20s or 30s, they were blamed for like 6 fatalities in one river there in New Jersey, and they caught a big bull shark and killed it. And they don't know if it was that one or another one, but a couple of teenagers were swimming and were attacked. But then, it was a week of terror where the shark swam up and down the river and attacking people in the water. So
that was the 1916 Jersey case. It was something like Mattawoman Creek, or it wasn't Manasquan, but it was a tidal creek in northern Jersey, right?
Right,
yeah.
Right.
But I do have to say though, we have not had any encounters or documented shark attacks in the Chesapeake Bay.
Nope.
But they are, they are one of the more dangerous sharks, but luckily we haven't had any encounters here in the bay.
Exactly. So, but this made the news, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And they always do.
Yes, with social media now, with a lot of anglers on social media and Facebook, and these pictures will travel around, and I knew it was going to be news as soon as I saw your picture come in.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's enough on that. Let's bring us up to date a little bit on the water situation in the Chesapeake Bay. We've been warned about all the rain and so forth, and when they opened the floodgates at Conowingo Dam, a lot of debris came down, a lot of logs and just garbage and silt and things like that, because they opened so many gates and the water was so built up, so intense, the rain was so intense, and all of that flooded the bay, of course, and led to even some of the flash floods around the bay washed some of the driftwood and logs and things like that into the bay, and the warning went out for debris. Cleared up a little bit.
Yeah, so it has cleared up a little bit. And two things have happened. The fishing pattern actually changed a little bit, and the rockfish patterns have changed, possibly even in a good way. So in the short haul, it was really disruptive. You know, we had somewhere between 15 to 20 gates open, floodgates open on the dam during the peak of the event. Right after that event, Alan, we had to cancel. DNR didn't cancel it, but the Bassmaster organization
right.
right. tough because the folks up at Harford County spent a lot of time, you know, planning that event, and we
sure.
were going to have the weigh-in at the stadium. So it's not going to happen this year. You know, we're hoping that maybe we can do an event up there next year.
Right.
Now, after that was canceled, the debris kept going further and further down the bay,
right.
washed up at Sandy Point. Guys had to use chainsaws to clear some of this stuff.
Right.
But the blessing in disguise was the water temperature did drop a few degrees. It was getting up to about 82 or 83, which is really warm.
Right.
And it went down to about 78, and it kind of shook things up a little bit. So now the fishery is a little bit more diverse. We still have the action in the upper bay between Love Point and,
right.
and Hodges Bar on chumming and some live lining, but now there's a topwater bite developing.
Ooh, why don't you hold that?
Cool.
Why don't you hold that thought? And
yeah.
We'll take a short break here, Eric, and we'll come right back to that. How's that sound?
We'll talk about that. All right.
Sure. Okay.
Yep.
All right, folks. Onyx. For almost 10 years, hunters have relied on Onyx to help navigate public and private land boundaries across the country. Onyx Hunt is the only tool comprised of over 400 countrywide maps that gives clear private and public land boundaries, trails, hunting-specific data, and more. New map layers are constantly being added by pairing with some of the leading names in conservation and the outdoor industry, like the National Wild Turkey Federation and Quality Deer Management Association. Whether it's on your smartphone or handheld GPS, make the most of your precious time in the field by navigating with Onyx Hunt. Did I tell you about the Browning rebates? I think I've mentioned it a couple of times. Anytime now through October 31st, you can save $100 on over and under shotguns like the Satori. You can save on auto-loading shotguns like the A5, the Maxis, and the Gold Light. You can save $100 on rimfire rifles, and you can save $100 on centerfire rifles, too. Now, that excludes the X-Bolt, unfortunately. And you can save $50 on the X-Bolt and $50 on BPS shotguns and $50 on handguns. All Browning rebates, and you can find your full-line Browning dealer as close as Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road. They carry all the Browning firearms, the ones that I mentioned, and all of the Brownings that you have found to come have come to be the most famous firearms in the world and very dependable. And I love all my Brownings. So, Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, 410-242-6108. Just off Beltway Exit 9, they're open 7 days a week, and they offer not only Browning firearms, but they will help you with the rebate as well. All right. We'll be right back after these messages.
WCBM, Baltimore.
Wet weather for the weekend with scattered thunderstorms. More of what we don't need right here for August. It's been a wet month, and we're going to add about an inch of rain in some places this weekend. 50% chance of thunderstorms and 87 out there this afternoon. Scattered storms likely tonight, 71 degrees, and additional storms on Sunday with temps in the low 80s. Upper-level weather energy kind of enhancing our storm coverage throughout the weekend. Catch a break Monday, sunshine, low 80s. I'm Scott Laurie, more at the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie, 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex. New location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
A special message for American Humane by actress Allison Sweeney.
Building a caring and more compassionate world starts with our children. For more than 100 years, American Humane Association has been teaching kids to be kind to animals. Those in our homes, on the farms, on the silver screen, and wildlife conservation, caring for the world's vanishing creatures. But we can't do it alone. To learn ways to teach kids the values of caring, compassion, and hope, or to support the life-saving work of American Humane Association, visit our website, kindness100.org. Together, we can make a more humane world for all of us.
For more information, visit American Humane at kindness100.org or call 866-242-1877. That's 866-242-1877.
Sweetie, want some fruit?
You have to use the right tool for the job. A power drill is the wrong tool to slice fruit. Just like an antibiotic is the wrong tool to treat viruses, including colds and flu. Antibiotics are only needed for certain bacterial infections. When they aren't needed, antibiotics won't help you, and the side effects could still hurt you. Ask your healthcare professional when an antibiotic is the right tool and when it's not. Visit cdc.gov/antibiotic-use.
Opportunities present themselves every day. Opportunities that move us forward. Opportunities to serve part-time in your community while continuing their full-time careers or education to help keep our nation safe at home and around the globe. Explore your opportunities in the Air Force Reserve.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Now more from Alan Ellis and the Outdoorsman Radio Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Hey, at least that guy didn't say more on hunting. Here's Alan Ellis. Eric, you with me?
I'm with you. I'm with you, Alan.
All right, were talking about a topwater bite. Where's that going to be? Upper Bay?
Yeah, so right on the line between the Upper and Mid Bay. It first came up around the islands at the Bay Bridge.
Okay.
The cool thing is, most guys, when they're fishing the Bridge Islands, as you know, they're gonna fish heavy jig heads.
Right.
They're gonna fish deep on suspended fish along the tower.
Right.
In this case, they found a school of fish around the Rock Islands, and what they're doing is they're casting poppers and Zara spooks right up on the rock.
Oh man.
And then they're dragging them right down off the rocks, and they're getting hit like 2 or 3 feet off the rocks on poppers.
Nice.
Really nice stuff.
Nice hit, and yep.
Apparently the same sort of pattern developed at the Thomas Point Light, which is a spot that gets a lot of fishing pressure. So
right.
It's not always on. You know, you got to get there early in the morning or late in the evening. But
right.
They had them on top water around the rocks at Thomas Point. And then now there's some breaking fish on bait fish. around Thomas Point and in between Thomas Point and the Bay Bridge. They're up on the surface.
So go armed for anything, but concentrate on that topwater bite for
right.
a little bit of action. I mean, you can always you know revert back to chumming if nothing happens. But
right.
catching a fish on topwater is a lot of fun.
Right. I would carry some poppers for the early morning and evening bite around structure. Keep your eyes out for some surface activity. Carry a few of your jigs too, like your plastic trailers, your BKDs, and that's Bass Assassins, that kind of thing.
Right, right.
But chumming is always a fallback option. And I would also say that finally some spot showed up and some croaker, Alan.
Okay.
And you can use live spot, you know, for stripers,
right.
spot fish. Just remember, you have to use circle hooks.
Did you ever answer that question? Do I still have to use non-offset circle hooks to catch my bait?
That was a really interesting question, and I did check on that. So, let's say you're fishing with your buddy on a boat.
Mm-hmm.
You're allowed to have, and you have two lines, right? You are allowed to have one guy live lining. That guy has to use an inline non-offset circle hook with the live bait.
Right.
But the other person on the vessel can fish with a small J hook for bait on the bottom, with either dead bait or processed bait or bloodworms. That's
mm-hmm.
okay.
Okay, so I got a question.
Okay.
Okay, here's my question.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm the guy with the rod and reel that I'm catching the bait fish, okay?
Right.
I got my little pieces of bloodworm and I got them down on the bottom and all of a sudden I get a big hit and I reel in a striped bass. How much trouble am I in since the boat is involved in chumming?
Okay, no, see, okay, gotcha.
And it's a legal fish, so I'm going to keep it.
Okay, so chumming and live lining are handled a little bit differently. If you're chumming, the chumming covers the entire area around the boat.
All right.
And you're not allowed to deploy any J hooks into the water at all.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, got me.
I made a mistake.
Yeah, but if
I made a mistake. I'm not chumming.
Okay, you're not chumming.
No, the other guy's live lining and I'm trying to catch the bait. And
right.
all of a sudden I catch a striped bass on a J hook.
Right. You're okay because if you're fishing with, are you using bloodworms or fish?
I'm using bloodworms.
Yeah, if you're using bloodworms, you're okay. You're allowed to fish with bloodworms on a J hook. You're just not allowed to use a live fish or a live eel or chum with a J hook.
I got
okay?
it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you're right since you're using a piece of bloodworm and your buddy is live lining, you're okay. But if you're chumming, that covers the entire boat, then you can't fish a J-hook, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was what we were trying to get that straightened out last time, and I talked to a few folks, yeah, after the show, so, yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep. And
also see a report on dissolved oxygen, best in the bay so far this summer.
I guess that's true, but there are still areas in the upper bay, especially above the Bay Bridge, down on the bottom where the oxygen level is low. It's below, and when I say low, I mean two milligrams per liter. Two, if you hear the number two or lower, it's
not survivable. In
right.
other words. Right.
So what happens is the fish in the upper bay will suspend, and they will go above that layer, and they'll find a narrow layer, and they'll be heavily concentrated in these smaller areas where they have enough oxygen and where the temperature is also cool enough. So actually, that's why a lot of folks were having success with chumming in the upper bay,
mm-hmm.
Because they were finding these really tight concentrations of fish where they were suspended in a zone above the low oxygen areas,
right.
But also cool enough where they could feed and they could hang out.
Got it.
Right. So they're concentrated in these narrow areas. They call it the habitat squeeze. And
the habitat squeeze.
We actually talked about it a little bit in the fishing report, and Tom Parm talks about it on Click Before You Cast, which is a new section in our fishing report.
Right.
And it's an old theory from back in the 80s during the moratorium years that kind of came back into play.
Mm-hmm.
They're just squeezed into narrow areas, and they're also probably squeezed up into some of the shoreline areas, which
sure.
is why we're seeing the topwater bite.
And it's all because of oxygen and temperature
oxygen.
And salinity and all the
yeah.
other factors.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that basically what happened a couple of years ago with the Diamond Jim competition and the tag fish, where all those fish were jammed into one little tiny spot, and people knew they were catching tagged fish there. We wound up catching like 53 fish that were tagged or something like that.
Yeah,
kind of the same thing.
That's right. They were jammed into a little area around Poplar Island,
mm-hmm.
where there was good circulation and good oxygen, and they were kind of stuck there.
Mm-hmm.
The people were live lining there every day, and I think we went over 60 that year. Alan,
very possible.
we had the Rapid Alert Task Force respond. We had vehicles gassed up and ready to go.
Ready to go and verify fish.
Yeah, to go verify
the
tags. Yeah.
Yeah. That sounded like a little expensive endeavor at that point.
It was a little bit too much, I would say.
Yeah, yeah. It sounded like it.
And we also had to verify each one of those folks with a polygraph.
Right, exactly. Wow.
So, yeah.
Yeah, because you never knew who was going to win the big fish.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Indeed, my friend. So anything else you want to tell us about the outlook on fishing here for the late summer?
Well, I think it's a good sign. I mentioned that the spot were starting to show up, and along with them, the croaker. So if you're looking for croaker, it tends to be more of an evening bite.
Mm-hmm.
It tends to be a little bit south. So they are showing up around Chesapeake Beach and then further south.
Right.
Now, I did hear the salinities are still really low, as low as 5 out by the Goose's buoy, 5
wow.
parts per thousand, which is crazy when it should be more like, you know, 8 to 10 or,
mm-hmm.
or higher. So I think the outlook is if we get some dry weather, I think we can hopefully see some more croaker moving up the bay, and there's some early signs of bluefish moving up above Chesapeake Beach, and
even better,
and possibly some Spanish mackerel if we get, you know, some moderating weather here.
I heard a report over the weekend about cobia below the target ship.
Yeah, cobia are showing up below the target ship. A few have been caught, you know, right around the target ship, but because of the water conditions we've had, most of the action from my sources is coming below Smith Point in
right.
Virginia waters.
Right.
I heard that there was a good bite around Stingray Point.
Okay.
You know, I think you know where that is. That's like south of Smith
right.
of Smith Point. So if we get some dry weather, Alan, they might, you know, move back up again if we get the salinity up a little bit.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, very good. Sounds like there's still plenty of action out there. Tell us what is the report? Some of the reports, or what are you hearing on the? And I don't know if they're porpoises or bottlenose dolphin or some type of dolphin that has come into the bay. I'm not sure what the species is, but some of them are.
Right.
They're giving us some major numbers on these things. You know, 150, 250, and you know, crazy numbers on them. The watermen don't like them. What's the scoop on the dolphins?
So my understanding is that they are they're Atlantic bottlenose dolphins. And what I'm hearing from the our marine mammal biologist here at DNR is that the population is not necessarily exploding or changing a lot. But these dolphins are just moving further up the bay than usual, in search of prey and
right.
food. Now, they're kind of like striped bass in that when they're feeding, they want to try to get something real soft raid and easy to eat,
right,
easy to slurp down. So they're going to be looking for menhaden, you know.
Right.
And, you know, possibly like some hickory shad or American shad that are running down the bay when they're first coming up the bay.
Right.
Stuff that's easy to eat, but they're once they get up here, they're opportunistic. So they're going to chase any fish that they can find. So they have been chasing around small rockfish. You know, we've been getting a lot of reliable reports that they're chasing around stripers and probably feeding on white perch a little bit.
Right.
Which is not the ideal prey because both of those fish have nasty dorsal spines.
That's true, yeah.
But they're, you know, once they get up here, they need to eat.
Right.
So, you know, I'm not a marine mammal biologist, but I don't think the population has really exploded. It just
no, but it's just more of them here.
Right. There's more of them here, and that their movement patterns changed this year. They came further up the bay, you know, looking for food, and that's what I'm getting from our marine mammal people.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that pretty much covers it, Eric. We've almost run out of time. I just wanted to thank you for coming on this morning on short notice. And, well, you know, this being Tuesday, I'm sure things will change between now and the time the show airs on Saturday. But you know what? There's good information, that's for sure. So I'm going to let you go. I got to talk about one more of our sponsors and then get out of here for this hour. And, Eric, we'll talk to you later. Thank you, buddy.
All right. Alan, good talking to you.
Good talking to you. Take care. Bye-bye. All right, Chesapeake Outdoors, you know, they are the first choice of Eastern Shore hunters and anglers. And they've been around a long time now. And indeed, we really like stopping in and seeing them. You know, they're right down there as I go across the bridge on Saturday morning. I'll stop by. But they carry the Raven crossbows, Excalibur 10-point, Carbon Express, Mission, and Barnett. They carry the Matthews Solo Cam compound bows, and all the Hoyt compound bows are now on a clearance sale. They carry the Scentlock apparel for the early deer season, the banded camo. They have the new Rambo electric bikes. If you want to take a look at that when you're in there, you might need access to get back into wherever you hunt. The Rambo might be the way to do it. Costa sunglasses, Yeti cooler, Bubba Blade knives, all firearms and ammunition, CVA and Thompson Center, muzzle loaders, too. Chesapeake Outdoors has everything you need for fishing and crabbing, live and frozen bait, chum, you name it, they've got it. Decoys, steel shot, gear, camo, waterfowl calls for the early waterfowl season, dove loads, dove stools, all that early on stuff. So it's right there at exit 39B, Dominion Road, right off Route 50 East on Kent Island, 410-604-2500. 410-604-2500. Well, there's it, right? That's it. That's for the pre-recorded show. Sorry we didn't take any calls today, but it's Tuesday. Nobody knew to call in other than our guest. And we want to thank Eric Slokovich. He does a nice job of staying on top of everything fishing in the bay. He told us about that big old bull shark, told us a little bit about the bottlenose dolphins and everything else. So, folks, we're going to get out of here for this hour. We'll be right back. Harry Spiker, our Bear Project leader, is going to be coming up next hour. Get out, stay out, stay safe.